It's Lake Effect on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North. The clue is in the name. For almost three decades, Wild Space Dance Company has been making site-specific dances that exist in both our exterior and interior wild spaces. As Paul Kosadowski writes in the latest issue of Milwaukee Magazine, dance performances for Loewen are all about location. From the Linden Sculpture Garden to the Pritzlaff Building to the Menominee Valley Three Bridges Park, there doesn't seem to be a place in the greater Milwaukee area that doesn't at least pique her interest. At the end of this month, Loewen will showcase new work in UWM's Institute of Visual Art, or INOVA, at Kenilworth Square. Sight readings is being created in conjunction with UWM's visual arts and dance departments, and it will occur in the galleries. I reached Loewen by phone during the depths of the recent freeze, and she told me how this newest work came to be.
I was approached by the UWM dance department last spring, and they were wondering if I would be interested in doing a collaborative project with INOVA and UWM dance students, and also Wild Space. I have done two earlier projects at the original or the old INOVA Gallery, which was on Downer Avenue, and I loved working in the gallery spaces, and it was two different floors, and we did some really fascinating projects there. And in some ways, it helped hone my skills for audiences moving and seeing things that are happening concurrently, and looking at things that are in rooms. So when I was asked by the department chair, Simone Farrow, if I would be interested in this, I said, oh my goodness, absolutely. Also because I love the new INOVA space in the Kenilworth Building.
Oh, it's fantastic space for just about anything you want to do.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It has this history of this old architecture, and the ceilings are really tall. And the rooms are larger, so I felt that I could move an audience through. And the timing of the kind of show they were interested in doing and my being in there, we worked on that pretty carefully. They have a show with video artists that opens this Thursday, and it's a marvelous show. I just got to see some of the clips yesterday when I was in there rehearsing. But the lovely thing is that there's not stuff around. It's a show that... when the video is shut down, walls have not changed, and the dancers can move around and through the space. It's unusual for INOVA to do this kind of a show. They often have paintings and sculpture, and they're very adventurous in terms of the kinds of shows they have. So I'm always waiting for a downtime when I can do something in the space that feels like it's going to work artistically for me. So that kind of was the crux of it. And just, again, being... I'm enthralled with new spaces and new complications, I think I would say, because I like the complications. Also looking at what happens when people come into a gallery for a gallery experience, which is they wander and they stop and they wander and they stop and they might talk a little bit, but they're pretty much unguided. And then you have a confluence of my audience who comes to things in theaters or they come to other dance events, and they... are looking to, they have an understanding of all the different things going on, and they will probably spend more time with different kinds of events. So, and that's the nature of a dance audience. You pop them in a theater, and they stay there.
Right, right. They're not moving normally.
In this show, everything is moving.
So audiences are moving, the dancers are moving, and the art is moving.
Yes, and the material are the dancers. And also I'm working with two artists from Milwaukee. Tom Bamberger is doing a paired short movie. It's very abstract, and so I'm using his work, and also Jake Fuller, who is a local filmmaker.
And you've worked with Tom before.
I've worked with Tom before, and this is very similar to these are new films that I haven't worked with these films, but people will be familiar with his slow movies that move forwards and backwards in time, and then it gets very phasic. They're lovely, and what I love about them is that they're abstract. So they provide a field for the dancers to move in a landscape. And they're lovely by themselves, and they're also lovely with the performers.
That's one of the things I really enjoy about your work so much, is that layering, is that the individual components can be appreciated on their own, but they are greater than the sum of their parts when you put them all together.
Oh, well, thank you. The layering is a very, very important part of making the work, and it's what also keeps me kind of on my toes through the rehearsal process, because I see something, and then, for example, the the dancers are working with. We're working with a series of drawings. I made some drawings on cards, and all the dancers got to choose which drawings they wanted to use, and they're just lines and curves and shapes. And I meant them as short sentences for people to make these short sentences or develop a language vocabulary that was based on that. But then in the process of doing that, then I asked the dancers to perform that material as though they're on a floor, in the corner, on the ceiling, perform the phrase as though they're moving in between two people, perform the phrases as if they're next to someone, or as though the phrase is outside of the building, or as though the phrase is missing something. So you start with something that feels very concrete, and then I like to add these tweaking layers so that you see something that's actually transforming right in front of you, and you understand something's transforming, but you don't necessarily need to know why or what is driving it.
Do you feel that the audience members at that time will help drive whatever changes, or is the choreography going to be pretty fixed by the time you add the moving audience?
Oh, I think it's going to be a combination of both. I think the dancers are going to want it to be pretty fixed, and it's going to be impossible. I keep saying, don't hold on to what you think you need to right now, because I want all the dancers to move through the different spaces. So even that, we don't know how long it will take. We can't rehearse it very often because it involves turning an alarm off, and the audience presence will have a huge impact on how long it takes to move from one space to the next. And I also have the dancers will have tasks to do on their way. One of my thoughts was, what happens if you perform this phrase only for people who are wearing green? Which means as a certain we shift and the dancers are hunting the audience as opposed to the audience hunting for something in the dance.
That doesn't usually happen. It's usually the audience is receptive,
right.
You know, and or not, but you hope that they are. But they're not actively participating. They certainly haven't been part of your rehearsal process, but they are part of the whole that will eventually be created.
Right. I even when I was rehearsing yesterday, I had half the performers moving, and then I had the other performers with me be audience. And then I would say things, what happens, how does it make you feel when you actually try to get an audience member involved in this duet? What does that mean?
And what were people saying?
I didn't ask them to say anything.
Okay.
So what was interesting was just watching people move and seeing someone who's like, what are you talking about? That kind of audience person. Or someone else jumping in and starting to move as well because there's that kind of audience person. And it was just kind of just to give the performers a sense that there is going to be another moving component, which is the audience.
Right. That's the part that is the unknown.
That's the unknown, that's the excitement, and that's also the terror.
You've done these kinds of site-specific things in lots of different spaces. How are you feeling about this one? Is this a space that you would want to revisit?
Oh, yes. This is a really beautiful space, and I think it's a space that that could actually, it would be really fun to have different kinds of performance activities in it, because it's, I mean, you could do something that was very specific, a reading of something, a play of some sort in a space, or music. I know that they've had one or two music events there, and the music sound support is just, I mean, it's just such a live, loud room that it's actually problematic for me in some ways, in that I can't have sound in every room. That's different because it'll just be muddy. But I know that there have been some performances there, and I think it's just such a beautiful space to spend time in. I've really been happy to be there and to learn about, you know, there's all these little nooks and crannies, and that's also, you might come around a corner and there's an empty space, and if you move your head in, you might find a dancer tucked back there. But I'm very excited about it. It's one of those things where I have no idea what the audience is going to, what their response is going to be, and how they are going to, you know, settle into things. Audiences go to art museums, they don't spend more than, what is the average, 10, 15 seconds in front of an artwork.
Right, it's not very long.
Something really shockingly low. It's just, and so this is interesting because I'm also wanting them to play with that idea. So I'm going to have some text plates on the wall in places, and which will encourage and make the audience move into a space and read something. But the reading of whatever they're reading might be something as cryptic as, this seems like this event needs more information, please find the next text plate. So, that, you know, things like that where I'm playing with that idea of the text plate is supposed to give you more information, but it doesn't really give you information about what the work is. History, it gives you some details, but it has nothing to do with the materials that you're, that have been organized for you to look at. So it, in some ways, I'm kind of playing with that. I want there to be some whimsy in this event.
Well, it sounds like there will be.
That's going to be fun.
Well, Deb, as always, it's such a pleasure to talk to you, and I'm glad you haven't retired yet.
No, I haven't retired yet.
You keep threatening to, and we're very glad that you aren't.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And best of luck with it.
Yeah, thank you.
Deborah Lowen is director of Wild Space Dance Company. Their show, Sight Readings, opens at the end of this month at UWM's Institute of Visual Art at Kenilworth Square. Lowen is also the subject of Paul Kosodowski's article, Where the Wild Things Are. It's in the current issue of Milwaukee Magazine. Another kind of movement has taken over the Marcus Center this week as the actors, puppeteers, and horse-sized puppets of the show War Horse perform. We'll chat with a couple of them when Lake Effect returns in a moment on Milwaukee Public Radio.